that the child should be circumcised. His name was called Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Se cortó la luz, which means there's no power. That's what they announced after the fact, the morning of December the 8th, the Immaculate Conception, last month in Argentina. Well, I had figured that out on my own, but I was intrigued at the way they say it in Spanish, in Castellano, with the use of a reflexive, se cortar. So, hot and a humid morning, you know, the weather is the opposite in the southern hemisphere, it's summer there, and the church would be crowded with 100 confirmations, but there would be no fans, and no light, and no microphone for the foreign bishop who would be giving the sermon that day. But I thought, we could survive. It's just a little bit of penance. Well, they hooked up a generator, but that too cut in and out, as generators do. I've learned over the years, as Scripture would say, cursed be the man that trusteth in generators. No, you mustn't put your trust in them either. But it's nothing too serious, really. It's just, well, like the weather this weekend, for example. Now, that's something that they could cut, that we could all cut, couldn't we? We could cut out too much TV, too much panicking. Just pull the plug. Whether the media does this to maintain mind control, you know, just every now and again they test the leash to make sure it's still attached, I think it is, or whether it's done for marketing purposes, sort of a conspiracy on the part of Kroger's to get everybody into the parking lot last night, which they managed to have achieved rather well. In any case, these are the little things of life, to lose power, to have a storm. We should keep in mind, though, the concept of cutting. I want to talk to you about that today, and about light, and about power. Cutting of the kind that may save us by God's power, even as it gave our Lord his name, Savior, which is the meaning of Jesus. The next day after the 8th was the 9th, Monday morning, and I gave tonsure to a fine young man from Brazil, a seminarian, who had finished his philosophy and was now starting his theology. Do you know what tonsure is? It's the first step to the priesthood. It makes a man a cleric. Abraham, our seminarian, he's been tonsured, which means he can serve as a sort of subdeacon at solemn masses. The bishop cuts a man's hair in five places, here, in the middle, in the back, and on each side, for the cross of Christ, for his five holy wounds. And then the seminarian repeats after him, or is meant to, he usually is nervous so he gets it wrong, a snippet, a verse of that beautiful psalm, Dominus Pars. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my chalice. It is thou who restorest my inheritance to me. In other words, the seminarian is sacrificing, cutting out symbolically with a little bit of hair, his worldly prospects, fortune, family, to share in the Lord's inheritance and to drink his chalice with him. Father McKenna was telling me the other day that when Bishop McKenna, no relation, was giving him tonsure, somebody produced an old pair of scissors from the office, and they weren't very sharp. And poor Bishop was having a hard time doing his tonsuring, and he was hacking and pulling, and at some point Father McKenna was thinking to himself, hey, this hurts. And eventually the bishop said to the priest assisting him, this isn't working too well, is it? He was having a hard time with Father McKenna's head, which doesn't surprise me. It's hard sometimes cutting away, even a little bit, symbolically. But off it must come if we are to have part with the Lord. Now, today's very short gospel, the same as last Wednesday, the circumcision, January 1st, is the one in which our Lord receives his name, Savior. He receives it only, note, with the shedding of blood. Just a few drops, symbolically, the circumcision, anticipating the means whereby he would actually save us, shedding the last drop of his blood at Calvary. Circumcision was a kind of an Old Testament sacramental, preparing the way for baptism, symbolic of the coming sacrament, cutting a bit of a little boy's skin, to which our Lord submitted, and as he received it, he abolished it. God gave it, first of all, in the Old Testament, of course, to Abraham and to Moses, and now it is no more. Baptism will be the sign now that his people belong to him, a sacrament not of drops of blood, but of water, but that same beautiful truth. How else will Jesus be our Savior except that we should cooperate with him in cutting off the old man of sin? And that each day, to be willing absolutely to cut it off like power is cut off by a storm. The power of the world and the power of the prince of this world of darkness. And to cut whatever it is that might offend our Lord. Usually, it's not even, in terms of price, the equivalent of a power outage, which can involve some real sacrifice. I wouldn't make light of it. There are a lot of people this winter who have been freezing and cold and in the dark. But without it, I mean without this little cutting, how can we be called by his name? To cut off. Think of the appurtenances of the confessional and its proper use. The occasions of sin which I must cut off, which have to go to show I'm serious about being saved. Salvation is not some emotional moment, the business of accepting Christ as a personal Savior. You know, that was made up in 19th century Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute. St. Paul would say, those are the teachings and traditions of men. That's a heresy. That will not save you. But you will be saved if you cooperate with God's grace in some utterly practical, down-to-earth and daily lived purpose of amendment. Thus, St. Alphonsus can meditate on the way of the cross. O Jesus, here cut, here burn, but spare me for eternity. The act of contrition, the sacrament of penance, whereby I firmly resolve to cut out what? Persons? That one person or those friends? That place? That thing, that occasion, that party, or that party store, the telephone call, that conversation I get into sometimes, the solitary time on the computer, and I think I'm alone, which may lead me into sin. By cutting even unto sacrifice, those little drops of blood, that bit of skin, the hair hacked and chopped off finally at a price, a wound in the end, which will heal, I show I am serious, that I want to be called by his name, and that as I call upon him, Jesus, that he would be to me my Jesus, my Savior. Cutting. Christ recommends it in the gospel to everyone, doesn't he? Not just clerics on the way to the priesthood, not just those on their way to the confessional. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. If thy eye scandalize thee, pluck it out. Better to go to heaven one-eyed or with one hand maimed than to go hell to hellfire whole and entire. Saint Lucy, a saint we had last month, is the saint of the light from her name. They say the pagans tortured her, and at some point they plucked out her eyes, her beautiful eyes, and that she had the presence of mind to ask that they should be sent to the young man whom she had spurned, who in revenge had denounced her to the pagan authorities. "He always did like my eyes," she said. Well, a final word on cutting? Don't. It's easy to give up on people, to cut them out and cast them away as a scandal unto you. It may be so. It may be that that is the only way. But don't cut them out entirely. Don't throw them away. Hook them up to the generator. Keep them on the life support machine. How? Why, by prayer. Never give up. Never cut off. But in your prayer, remember them. Lift them up to God for your welfare and their own and your common salvation. It is a remarkably healing thing to pray for the worst of our enemies. And if you're praying for someone, I mean with tongue, but also with heart, will you really want to be quite so cutting in your remarks? Cutting. Cutting off. It's our tongue should go, and then our eyes. Ah, yes, certainly. Our eyes see way too much today. But most of all, it's the heart. Ah, however to power such a surgery, to cut off sin, save by the power of his name, Jesus, his name, a one-word prayer. The saints tell us it brings our Lord's presence to us. His name is light, St. Bernard says. His name is power. Si cortó la luz, don't let them cut your power. You may, with one flick of the finger, turn it back on again. With a movement of the tongue and of the heart, Jesus, and that's a generator that will not fail you. A two-syllable prayer, turn it back on. Bring his holy name to your heart. Lest ever you be cut out, cut off, and cast away into darkness, pray every day and all day. Some days it's the best we can manage just to say his name, Jesus, Jesus. Be to me, Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.